And welcome back to Coast AM with Dr. Hugh Ross. In this hour, we'll take your phone calls when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Hugh Ross with us. Hugh, how do you tie in, of course, the UFOs and end times prophecy? Is there a tie in there?
Well, there's a tie in the sense that, this battle between good and evil does transcend our physical realm to include the angelic realm. And the angels have a pretty good idea about the timing of the end, too. So it's no surprise that we're seeing an increase in demonic activity, including UFO activity worldwide. And again, I think proof of the pudding is that those nations that are more deeply involved in the occult than we here in the United States have a much higher incidence of people claiming close encounters with UFOs.
That's fascinating. Let's go to the calls. They're lining up for you. We'll go to Kim in Norwalk, California, west of the Rockies. Hi, Kim. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my calls. Tim,
by the way. Sure thing.
I was asking Dr. Ross about how his theology matched up with mine. I was thinking I was probably the only one that thought that way, but it was quite a thrill. But what I wanted to ask is about these angels, demonic angels in the heavenly realms. Is there spiritual warfare that occurs in these places where maybe the angels fight against us, like unseen to us, of course, and fight other, good angels?
Yes, Tim, the battle goes beyond just what takes place in the heavenlies. Of course, the good angels and the bad angels are battling one another there, but the battle transcends right here to planet Earth. And therefore, as you look at historical events and events in our own individual lives, we need to realize that what seems mysterious often has a spiritual explanation.
Are we all assigned guardian angels, Hugh?
We don't know how many angels are there. We do know there's at least 100 million, according to the Bible, that, hey, there's 7 billion of us. So whether everybody gets a guardian angel or not, I just don't know. But it does tell us in the book of Hebrews that there are good angels out there that are ministering to serve God's followers. And consequently, you can anticipate that there will be some supernatural assist, at least on occasion.
John is in Toledo, Ohio, and on Coast to Coast with us. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hey, John. George.
Hey, good to have you with us.
Ask your guest about the about Bigfoot. Is he part of the before I ask that question, I want to ask him about the fallen angels and the false prophets. Are these false prophets the fallen angels, and how are these angels
go ahead.
How are these physical angels related to the, are they born into the world, or do they come here from that other dimension, or?
Well, the book of Revelation speaks about two human beings that take the title the Antichrist and the False Prophet. But these are individuals that are, quote, demon-possessed in the sense that fallen angels have control over their lives, but they're actual human beings, according to the book of Revelation. They're not here yet, but they're predicted to come upon the earth and deceive the nations of the world.
He also wants to know about Bigfoot and whether you think that creature has anything to do with demons. What do you think?
Could be. I mean, there's no physical evidence for Bigfoot. I mean, I grew up in British Columbia, where they talked about the Sasquatch. It's another name for Bigfoot. A lot of blurry photographs, but no physical evidence. And it's kind of like the UFO phenomena. Most of it is just got nothing to do with physical reality or the demonic realm. But I do believe that there are people who are into Bigfoot that are being influenced by demons. But most people that are talking about Bigfoot, that's not the case. But there is no such thing as Bigfoot, no physical evidence.
Joe is in Plainview, Texas, first-time caller. Hey, Joe, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, George? It's good to be good to be on. I wanted his take on the Sidona area in Mars. There's an author out there by the name of Wayne Herschel, and according to his research, he says that the entire Sidona area of Mars actually mirrors the Pleiadian star system, and he actually connected that with other ancient sites here on Earth, and they seem to mirror the same site, and he claims it was built by some ancient ET civilization, and perhaps maybe the descendants of the civilizations are the ones who built this on Earth. Just wanted your take on that.
Okay, and Richard C. Hoagland, by the way, will be our guest tomorrow, and he, of course, is an expert on that, too. Hugh, do you want to take a jump at that?
Yes. I mean, I would recommend that Joe go to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory website. They've got a whole collection of images of the Sedona site on Mars. And all this talk about the face on Mars and the fact that this is something that was built by intelligent beings is easily done away with by looking at the high-resolution photographs of the Sedona site. Yes, if you look at it at a particular sun angle with low resolution, it looks like a face, but actually is nowhere near as good as the rock face that you see in New Hampshire. High-resolution photographs show that this is totally natural. No need to conclude that this is something that's a product of supernatural beings. But go to the JPL website and see for yourself.
Let's go to Niles, Ohio. Hey, Ray, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
I want to rattle off a few conclusions quickly that follow from Hugh's point of view, and I want to see how he handles them. If we take the recent book by Leslie McKeon, which is considered to be a good UFO research book, James Penniston at the UFO Bentwaters case in 1980, in conjunction with many military personnel, went up to an object that landed in the forest. He went up to it and touched it, copied cryptic symbols from it into his notebook, and there were a lot of other military personnel present who viewed it. According to Hugh's view, they had this experience because they're all involved in the occult. Many people who saw the Phoenix Lights, hundreds of them, including the camcorders that recorded it, they had this experience because they're all involved in the occult and their camcorders are bewitched. Children who've had these experiences had these experiences because they're involved in the occult. Ted Phillips, an associate of the late J. Allen Hynek, cataloged thousands of trace cases where the objects leave an indentation, burnt spot in the ground that's subject to laboratory testing. But everybody who views these burnt spots and does the laboratory testing are all involved in the occult, and I guess their equipment is bewitched. Bruce Maccabee, the optical physicist, has done many extensive analyses of UFO footage and still photographs and pronounced many of them genuine, but I guess his equipment is bewitched and he must be involved in the occult. All flight controllers who corroborate pilot sightings from the ground with radar, they have these experiences because they're all involved in the occult. Furthermore, if we believe the crash retrieval claims, and I say if, like in Stephen Greer's tapes, many witnesses have claimed that they've been present at these retrievals. Dead alien bodies were supposedly removed from those retrievals. Well, demons are supposed to be immortal, but if the aliens are mortal, they can't be demonic. Now, I'd like you to reconcile his view with everything that I just stated, but even if you reject the crash retrieval claims, you have to claim that all of these people who are corroborating these UFO experiences with their equipment, with radar recordings, with camcorder recordings, flight controllers, pilots in the air, and also ground visual, airborne visual, all of these corroborations which have occurred over a 65-year period from 1947 to the present, are all involved in the occult, and I find that profoundly unlikely. That's my claim, and I'd like him to reconcile everything I said with his point of view.
Go ahead.
Sure. Well, Ray, I would agree with you because you've expanded the category of what I was talking about. I was talking about people who are having direct experiences with UFOs. That's quite different, say, from a physicist going to a UFO crash site and doing research. That's not what I would call a direct experience with one of these residual UFO encounters. So I'm not saying those people are, involved in the occult. Moreover, I'm not also saying everybody who sees a UFO is involved in the occult. My own experience is that 99% of what people report as a UFO has nothing to do with the demonic at all. It's simply a natural phenomena or something that they're misunderstanding. This is where I think Alan Hynek's work on close encounters is important because, if people are having some physical effects as a result of the encounter, chances are they've had one of these close encounters where there is the demonic connection that's there. I do not believe that there's any artifacts from these residual UFOs. I know there are claims out there, but nobody's ever been able to prove or come up with any evidence that you could put into a museum. So we do take a skeptical approach on that in our book, Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men. One of my co-authors was a national security expert and basically makes the point that United States security simply isn't up to the task of hiding actual physical evidence from some alien craft. But you can check out the book and see for yourself.
Is it possible, Hugh, we're dealing with several things? One could be that they are physical craft from other systems, and then, of course, the demonic end as well. Maybe?
Yeah, I don't think so, because there's no possibility for an alien physical species to traverse interstellar space and to visit our planet in physical craft. That's one reason I can't get too excited about watching Star Trek or Star Wars, because they seem to violate the laws of physics about 6 or 8 times per minute. So the laws of physics are a real limitation on interstellar space travel. We're not going to be able to visit the stars 300 or 400 light years away, and likewise, beings that could possibly exist out there aren't going to be able to get to us. It doesn't matter what kind of technology or wealth you have, you are going to be limited by the laws of physics, and they will not permit travel in physical craft. But that certainly doesn't eliminate the transdimensional or interdimensional explanation of UFOs. I also think you're onto something, that it's a combination of many phenomena. Mm-hmm. Again, 99% of UFO reports have nothing to do with transdimensional beings.
Let's go to our Skype line. Josh is with us in Susanville, California. Hey, Josh, go ahead.
Hello. I have a couple of questions for Hughes.
Sure.
Can demons possibly come into a form of your loved ones? Because I remember when I was about a child, 7 years old or something like that, I would see beings, like, during the night. I don't know if it was dreams, like, they can attack you in your dream. But is it possible? I mean, I would wake up horrified, crying from what I've seen. Is it a possibility for them to do that?
Yes, Josh, that's definitely possible. Angelic beings can manifest themselves in whatever physical form they please, either as your dead father or as a spacecraft or as a dirigible or as a leprechaun or some kind of an animal. They can do that. And if you had that kind of encounter, you may have a relative in your family that's been involved in the occult, and simply admitting in prayer to God that what they were doing was displeasing to him will cut that link. Or if there's something yourself are doing personally, then I would say eliminate that from your life. In our book, Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, we have a table of about 40-plus different kinds of experiences that would qualify as inviting these demonic creatures to come into your life. If you eliminate those things from your life, that should put an end to those experiences.
Okay. Is it a possibility, because I've had a family member in the past mess around with a demonic...
That can definitely do it. Doesn't have to be you yourself. A close relative could be a problem.
Okay. Yeah, because... I was raised in a Christian family, and, I haven't been real close recently, but I have family members who are really close to God, and they have seen things like UFOs. Like, a few weeks ago, my father saw a red orb, in the sky flew over town one time, or sometimes he'll see shadows of a being there who isn't there. But for me, I usually don't see it, though. But what could that possibly be?
Well, the first thing I would do as a scientist and as a Christian is to eliminate physical explanations. I mean, you know, seeing some kind of ball of light in the sky could have a perfectly natural explanation. So I would check that out first. And, you know, if it is demonically involved, there will be some unpleasant emotional, intellectual consequences that will go along with that. So you kind of check that out. And then just see if there are any invitation cards in terms of occult activity. And again, you'll see a list of that in our book, Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men.
Hugh, how would you categorize alien abduction cases?
Well, I've run into a lot of people that claim that they've been abducted by aliens. And in a lot of cases, it's a psychologically induced thing. They're trying to gain some notoriety. So I look there first. Say, you know, maybe this has got nothing to do with the demonic. Maybe it's just somebody having a deep psychological need here. And and that's typically 90% plus of all the claims I get about abduction events. But then I actually do run into people who are deeply involved in the occult and are having what they think are abduction experiences. They're not really being taken away to Planet X, but they are taken away into a trance-like state. Where a demon takes control of their mind and they think they have experiences which are, quote, out of this world.
Next up.
Again, the way to help that individual is say, if you don't want these experiences, here's a way to get rid of them. But you can't force it on people. It's got to be something they want to get taken out of their life.
Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana. Hi, Cornelius. Welcome to the show.
Hey, George. God bless you. And Tommy. And Dr. Ross, what I wanted to ask you, Dr. Ross, there are 365 places in the Bible where it says fear not. And if you ever get a chance, I'd like to see you maybe do a book on that and see if that would help on demonology. So that's my little thing. So God bless y'all. Have a nice day.
Well, thank you. And when it talks about fear in the Bible, there's three different words in the Hebrew. So fear not can mean different things in different contexts. You can check it out.
Well, indeed we can. Hugh, I'm coming up on the break. We're going to come back in a moment with some final questions for you here on Coast to Coast AM. And if people want more information on Dr. Hugh Ross, you can go to his website, reasons.org. How often do you post on that, Hugh?
Oh, literally every day. There's something new there every day.
Have you joined the Facebook crowd yet?
We have a Facebook account there.
Okay,
I got people that maintain it for me, so I don't have to go there all the time.
Okay, very good. That's what we have our webmasters for, too.
Sure.
Makes it easy, doesn't it?
Oh, well, it does. I mean, it can be all time-consuming otherwise.
Oh, that sure is. It's something to social networking. It's huge now these days. All right, stick around. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. And, of course, we're with Dr. Hugh Ross. In a moment, I'll tell you a little bit more what's in store on our next Coast to Coast show. But let's come right back in just a second, and we will take final phone calls with Dr. Hugh Ross right here on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, of course, Richard C. Hoagland joins us as we talk about all things space, the only way Richard can, of course. When we come back in just a moment with Dr. Hugh Ross, let's wrap things up by taking your final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie back at you now with Dr. Hugh Ross on Coast to Coast AM. Hugh, you have a group of other scientists, I guess, that work with you on various subjects, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We got Fuzz Rana, a biochemist, Jeff Swerink, another astronomer, Dave Rogstad, a physicist who works at JPL. And then we have some philosophers and theologians as well, and then several hundred PhD scientists all over the country that volunteer for us.
Do you all have the same views or opposing sometimes?
Well, we do have different perspectives, but, you know, we're all Christians, so we all adhere to the basics of the Christian faith. But, no, we do very much encourage debate and discussion. That's how you learn.
they all generally then believe, as you do, about UFOs being more demonic than extraterrestrial.
I believe so. I mean, I think that's true of our staff. I'm not sure that extends to all of our volunteers. And right. We don't require them to take a position on it.
Let us go to the phones again. Rick is in Palmdale, California. Hey, Rick, thanks for calling.
Yes. You know, I could not disagree more with your guest on quite a number of things. First of all, I am a Buddhist. And you know, you're not respecting other ideology in this planet, because Christians, unfortunately, have this very narrow-minded, one-track mind about that it's their way or it's the highway. As far as Buddhism is concerned, the universe was created, the universe exists unto itself, and is created through a process of cause and effect. That's the first thing. Second thing, that there is only one demonic force in this world, and it's called the Roman Catholic Church, that through horror, through murders and genocides for 2,000 years, they have demonized the Jews, calling them Christ killers, okay? This is still going on, okay? So they're committing evil as we speak, okay? And then third of all, if there is a God, if there really was a God, I don't believe in a God, thank God, but if there was a God, he really screwed up big time, because if God created the universe, then he created evil. So how do you separate that? Thank you.
All right.
Well, Rick, I've written two books on the problem of evil, you know, Beyond the Cosmos and Why the Universe is the Way It Is, making the point that God's not responsible for evil. That something was brought about by the free will beings he created. And you can say, well, couldn't he just take away the free will? If you take away the free will, you take away the possibility of love, and that's why God created us and the angels. So in that sense, he takes a risk. But when evil was introduced, he's able, through his great power, to use that evil for a better good. So just like my professors took me through suffering when I took my courses, that suffering prepared me for a career that I otherwise could not receive. Likewise, the evil and suffering that we're being exposed to right now is preparing us to receive something far better than anything that's possible in this universe. So it's not gratuitous if indeed God can use it for a good purpose. And it doesn't mean that God is powerless. And with respect to your comments about Buddhism and Christianity and Roman Catholicism, keep in mind there's many different schools of Buddhism, as well as many different schools of Roman Catholicism. And the position we take at Reasons to Believe is whatever faith you have, you must be willing to put it to the test. And so I did study Buddhism in my youth, but realized that what many of the main schools of Buddhism taught about the universe contradicts what we astronomers measure about the universe. And that's why I took on the Christian faith, because it was the one faith that was consistent with what we see in the record of nature. But likewise, I'm prepared to critique the different schools of thought within the Christian faith. I think that needs to be done. Everything needs to be tested. As the Apostle Paul put it in Thessalonians, hold fast to that which proves good. And whatever religious perspective you come from, I think that's a good way to go. Put your beliefs to the test.
And you're not particularly a supporter of organized religion, Hugh, are you?
Well, I mean, I am a pastor in an organized church. I think people have a lot to complain about with respect to organized religion. And that tells us that we need to be looking. The Bible actually tells you how to organize your church. And unfortunately, most churches in our land do not follow the biblical perspectives on how church should be organized. So that's an issue that I think we need to pay attention to.
Let's go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Pete, take it away. You're up with us on Coast to Coast.
Thank you, George. A couple questions for you. Number one, do you feel this radio program could be a part of the occult by discussing these wide varieties of so many subjects that could be taboo?
No, absolutely not. I think it's important to talk about various aspects of life without, you know, putting your head in the sand and pretending they don't exist. I think it would be one thing if we jumped up and down and supported specific stuff, which we don't.
Right. Also, you mentioned earlier about 3 a.m. Most of the sightings are at 3 a.m. In my experience over the years, I agree with you completely. I confirm your opinions on that. Everything I have seen and everything I've experienced has been around 3 a.m. And at these points of life, I feel I was open to these experiences, which you described to be the occult. So I definitely want to confirm that. But what is it about 3 a.m.?
Well, I don't know what it is about 3 a.m. in lonely country roads. I have no answer to that. That just seems to be a feature of the UFO phenomenon. I mean, that's what we've done as scientists, is say, let's look at the UFO database and see what stands out. And that's one thing that really does stand out. So maybe that's where people who are into the occult like to hang around. I don't know. I just don't know what the connection is, but it's certainly there in the data.
Nothing particularly evil about 3 a.m.? What do you think?
No, I don't think there's anything particularly evil. So that's something I'm curious about with the UFO phenomenon. Why that time as opposed to other times? Well, the Bible does tell us that the demonic personages do prefer darkness to light. So that probably explains why they show up more frequently then than they do, say, at 2 p.m.
What time did Jesus die? Do we know?
Well, it talks about him spending about 9 hours on the cross. And, you know, we don't know exactly when that began and when it ended, but we do know the duration.
Nashua, New Hampshire, it's Ken's turn, Skype line. Go ahead, Kenny.
Hey. Hey, George.
Hi.
Question. How do you like the 20-sider I helped you out with? The other day with the eight ball thing, for one.
Hi, I like that. As a matter of fact, I went online and got the schematics on that. Nice job.
Thank you. Hey, great broadcast too, I might add as well. You're doing a great job. And like I said, there is one time I would like to meet up with you face to face as far as that goes. I even have it as part of my MySpace and other places as well. And I just want to ask your guest, as far as that goes, these people that meet up with as being abducted by aliens, there is the phenomenon known as implants, as they've been abducted and being implanted, as far as that goes, as physical evidence as it is, rather than spiritual evidence. I just want to get your guests' ideas on that.
Well, right. We've talked to a lot of people who claim to have been inducted and have had implants, but we never find any physical evidence of the implants, other than things that might have been happened with medical doctors. So, no, I'm not seeing any evidence at all that there are these supernatural beings that are implanting objects for different specific purposes. A lot of stories, but I haven't seen any physical evidence yet.
Hugh, for you to accept the extraterrestrial theory, what would you need to see? What would you need to hear? Anything specific?
Well, what I would need to see is actual artifacts and debris. I mean, something that you could put in a museum and put to the test. People say that there are these UFO bodies there. Well, show me. So, that's the whole problem, is that people are claiming that these are actual beings in a physical craft. Where is the physical evidence of that happening? And how do you deal with the laws of physics? I mean, we astronomers note that the laws of physics don't change throughout the universe and throughout cosmic history. That being the case, that rules out the physical explanation as being a violation of the laws of physics. So on that basis alone, I think we have plenty of grounds to be skeptical. But on top of that, there are no physical artifacts.
Catholic Church has said that the belief in extraterrestrial life does not negate one's belief of God. Your take on that? Statement made about 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, there's nothing in the Bible that rules out God creating life on another planet. The only thing that is ruled out is what you see in the book of Hebrews, where it says Jesus Christ came to planet Earth to die one time, one place, for all sinners. So it would seem to rule out another planet out there with spiritual beings like us that are sinners and in need of redemption. But that doesn't rule out another planet that's got dolphins on it.
Next up, let's go to San Jose, California. Rob, thank you for holding. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, George, hi, and hello, doctor. And, you know, doc, I have a couple of problems with what you're saying. Here's why. I understand the New Testament of the Bible pretty clearly. And what you're saying is that we need to come to a saving knowledge that the Creator, who is Jesus Christ, this is what the New Testament says, Jesus created everything. We need to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross in our place, dying for our sins.
Right.
But here's the deal. That same New Testament says that unless we're the chosen, the elect, predestined from before the foundations of the earth to come to a saving knowledge of the truth, we don't have a prayer. Because we can't accept this on our own, only being able to accept it in that the Holy Spirit of God moves upon us and convicts us, okay? Now, as a justification for that, well, we would say, well, how come 90% of all humans who've ever lived are going to be condemned to hell for all of eternity with no hope of ever getting out when they weren't predestined, they weren't chosen, they're not the elect, that the Holy Spirit did not move upon them? And then the rationale is this, that God is the master potter, and he can create some vessels to honor, like, I guess, a wine vessel, and another to dishonor, a chamber pot. And he's perfectly within his rights to do this, being the master potter. And then all of this has been put on as a demonstration for the faithful angels in heaven. So God created a race destined, doomed, to be punished, 90% of them, in the lake of fire for all eternity, without any hope of salvation at all, because he didn't choose them to predestine them.
And Rob, you're bringing up the paradox of free will and predestination. And what you're expressing is the impossibility of reconciling God giving us a free choice to choose him or reject him with his predestinating from before he created the universe, every thought, word, and action that we would perform. That's a contradiction if you limit God's activities to length, width, height, and time. But see, God created the universe. He actually created the universe with 9 dimensions of space, not just 3. And given that God transcends the universe, he's not limited by our space-time dimensionality. And you can pick up my book, Beyond the Cosmos, where I show you 3 different ways in the context of God's transdimensionality you can have human free choice and divine predestination side by side, continuously operating without contradiction. It's all resolved by allowing God to be as big as the new physics proves that he must be.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to Barry, Rock Hill, South Carolina, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Barry.
Hello, George. What a wonderful pleasure it is to speak to you again. It's Barry in Rock Hill.
Thank
you, Barry.
Just
talking to Tommy, of course, about the hockey team here and the Carolina Panthers and the Gamecocks of South Carolina. And anyway, what a wonderful program you got. And once again, George, we spoke about a month ago about old Ed Liebscommon down at the Carl Castle.
Yep.
And anyway, a great production crew. I've got to give kudos to you and all your staff. But gosh, I am fascinated with Hugh Ross tonight. He has followed my thinking right along the lines, but I didn't even know who he was until tonight. And, I'm a Christian, but I'm also a retired biochemist, so being a scientist, I like to see some proof. I like to see some proof. But anyway, to you, gosh knows, kudos to you, too, because you've got some great ideas. But when it comes to religion, we have got to come to this realization that all the wars and the killing and the hatred towards one another has just got to stop. This earth could be a paradise without all the wars and hate and jealousies and greed. And when is that ever going to stop? And thanks a lot, George. Great talking to you, buddy.
Sure thing. When does it stop, you?
Well, it stops when God finally conquers and removes evil once and for all. And that will happen when the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ is taken to all the people groups of the world. And I think that job can be done quickly if we're motivated.
All right, we've got the time for one or two more. Vera in Anchorage, Alaska. Hi, Vera.
Hello, George. Thank you for taking my call. And
sure thing.
To your guest, Dr. Hugh Ross, I would like to say I am so happy to hear someone confirm what I have been saying all along in reference to aliens, and that is that they are demons. In the Word of God, when Satan tried to take over heaven and fought with God in heaven, and he was cast down to earth, the heavenly host said, "Woe be unto earth, for Satan has come down to you." So the other planet beings are not sinful beings, and they wouldn't have any desire to come to a sinful planet as Earth to begin with. And I gave my life to the Lord at an early age, 5 years old, and I, my position in the body is prophetess, and my calling is evangelist. And I have done God's work according to what he has asked me to do. I have the greater works than these shall you do. I have literally been blessed with a beautiful deliverance ministry. Demons have been cast out of people. Their homes have been cleansed of evil spirits. And I receive a lot of persecution in the body of Christ, but that's okay because the word said we are wounded in the household of faith. But I don't believe that you are being disrespectful to other religions, for we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb.
Okay, so, very good. Vera, thank you. We are out of time. Hugh, I just wanted to thank you again for being on the program. It's been four years.
Pleasure.
That's way too long. We got to keep you back at least every year or two, okay?
That sounds great. Thanks.
All right. That's Dr. Hugh Ross. For Nathan Staton, Dan Galanti, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasour, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.